everybody. Welcome to the Monday, November 15th issue of the Geek News Central podcast. I'm your host, Todd Cochran, and we are podcasting from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the show. I've got some articles lined up for you tonight, and as a reminder to everyone, we want you to continue to send your comments in to geek@geeknewscentral.com, and also be sure to visit the website at geeknewscentral.com to check out the links to the items we're going to be talking about tonight. I do have a couple of people called into the voicemail line, which you can reach at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Call in and leave your comments on the show or to plug your own show, and we'll get them included in the Wednesday's, actually Thursday's podcast. And I do have a couple of podcasts that we're going to put in tonight from some listeners' comments. And one is a plug and is another along with comments, and then the other is just a listener's comment. So I'm going to cue those up now and play them for you, and I'll be back after the two voicemails.
Todd, great to hear from you. Glad to hear you got a voicemail up like this. Been listening to your show for a while and enjoy it very much. I'm calling from Indiana, south of Michigan, your old hometown. I want to let you know, yeah, we could see the aurora here. Very nice. Wanted to tell you about Tame Bear Radio. Tame Bear Radio is a podcast at podcast.wisdomroad.com. Check it out.
Yeah, Todd, my name is Bob Wood. I'm from Pennsylvania. A police officer out here, and I listen to your podcast. I work Sunday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., so I always listen to your podcast on Monday and Thursday. I look forward to it. I think 30 minutes is great. Even if you want longer, I wouldn't even mind. I usually, as soon as I get in, I try to get out and familiarize myself with the area, and people try to see me, especially during rush hour. I enjoy, you know, when people are coming by me, I listen to it. I think it's a great job. I think when I get done my shift the night off and come in early, 15, 20 minutes early, like it's about 9:40 here now in Pennsylvania, come in early, and it's easy to find your links and everything you refer to in the show. I just take my BlackBerry and put a side note, and it's easy to search and come up with stuff, and I can find all the information you talked about. I think you're doing a great job, and keep up the great work.
We want to thank those guys for calling in, and we do appreciate the feedback on the show. I'm going to go into the items I've got tonight. Don't know how much material I've got. It's pretty late here in Hawaii. And I had a pretty full weekend. My wife drugged me down to a piano store this weekend, and we got our kids and her. I'm not a music. I don't play music at all, but bought her a digital piano, and now I'm been tasked with getting it hooked up to the media center PC I built. And we're going to do play MIDIs through it on the piano when we want to entertain and just let the piano do its own thing. So if any of you are out there artists that are doing this type of thing now, let us know what software you're using to play MIDIs on your pianos, and what's the recommended way to do that, because I think we got it hooked up to the computer okay, but when I tried to cue some stuff up, it didn't play. But if anybody's got any experience in that, let me know. But I want to start off tonight talking about Skype. Over on a gentleman's website by the name of John Robb, he made a comment about how his kids are using Skype, and I'll basically read the entry. It says, "My kids are using Skype for 85% of their voice communications with friends. 5% is on cell phones, 5% is on traditional landlines, and 5% is on instant message networks. They found it on their own without his help, and he thinks it's a bad sign for additional telephone companies. I have a tendency to agree with him. I think it's typical phone companies and the number of subscribers they're going to have are going to drop. So the sooner they get fiber to the door, the quicker it is it's going to save them from demise as technology advances. If you all notice, my voice is still a little bit rough. I consider myself over the cold, but my voice has not recovered. And hopefully by Thursday, I'll be 100% back to normal. But talking about fiber to the door, Dan Bricklin, who lives in Massachusetts, is getting fiber delivered to his fiber to the door for his home. And it's called Fios, F-I-O-S service. And what it does, it's going to give him up to 30 megabyte download speeds and 5 megabyte upload speeds. He has to have a 100 base T network card in his computer, and I can't imagine anybody that doesn't have one of those already that's a power user. And the price of the service is going to be $199.95 per month. Yeah, I said that right, $199.95. Basically, five times the price of cable or DSL. I think if I could get that type of throughput to my house, I'd go ahead and switch. The price scares me a little bit, but wow, if that comes along with static IPs, that'd be amazing. There's a article on a non-tech related article on the on Time.com that talks about and it's a relatively new article here. It'll be published on the November 22nd issue of Time magazine. Talks about the some key Al-Qaeda operatives who have that were seized recently in Pakistan are saying that Al-Qaeda wants to smuggle in some nukes into the United States. And I just think that Americans probably need to be ready at some point to, and I don't know, as in a personal opinion, I think it's not a matter of if, but when. That's a sad thing to say, but hopefully the government's doing whatever they have to do to prevent this type of material from getting in. But with the borders that we have with Mexico and Canada, and if they can get drugs in, they can get nuclear material in. So it raises my concern a little bit, and hopefully technology is advancing, or they have the technology in place to stop this stuff from coming across our borders. In computer security, Ziff Davis Net Australia is reporting that there are purportedly 10 new Windows XP SP2 flaws, one potentially bad enough that it will allow hackers to get into the computer and control the PC basically without any alarm bells going off, either through your firewall or your spyware. They're not saying what it is, and Microsoft is not, they're basically saying they're aware of the claim. But, this is a never-ending battle. I guess it's going to be something we're going to have to live with forever. On another front, looks like Microsoft is maybe going to get their hand slapped. There's a report out of from the Register, and I don't normally use these guys too much on the website for quoting their articles based upon historically how they have been reliable sources, but they're saying that a German magazine called PC Welt is claiming that Microsoft has shipped a Windows Media Player with sound files that were edited with an illegal copy of SoundForge. They have pretty compelling evidence. It makes me wonder what they're doing over there at Microsoft and why they didn't edit the WAV files with their own software. Or do they have software that can edit WAV files? That's a question that can be asked. I'm continuing to drink iced tea here while I'm doing the podcast to keep from stopping the damn recording all the time. So hope you have patience with me. Tech Dirt is reporting that eBay, and I don't know why they're going to do this, they're going to be sending out a paper catalog to people. All of you, raise your hands out there that have bought something out of a paper catalog recently. Mine is not up. I think this is I think they're a bunch of lunatics. I don't understand what they're doing here. You know, they've got the best auction system on the net. They've got all kinds of people that have stores. I buy out majority of my stuff on online and some stuff through eBay. I just don't understand why they're sending out a paper catalog. Maybe they're gonna target people that don't have computers. I just don't understand it. Ran across a Slashdot article today that talks about downhillbattle.org is offering a bounty for a P2P plugin for Game. Now, GAIM is the name of the application. It's a Linux application. It's kind of like Trillion. It allows you to run multiple instant message clients under one program. You know, I'm a big ICQ fan. I use ICQ a lot, but I don't use ICQ directly. I use Trillion, and I can get AOL, MSN, I can get ICQ and one other instant message client all under one application. And then, you know, it keeps the taskbar freed up, and I can do everything without having to switch apps. And I think that is one of the coolest programs out there. Now, this deal with Game, wanting them to someone to build a plugin for that, you know, already BitTorrent is under pressure because a lot of people are doing illegal P2P stuff on it, and I know it, that, you know, I give people an outlet and they're going to do it, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but obviously this will bring that application under the wrath of RIAA. So I don't know, I guess we'll see what happens there, but interesting Slashdot write up. There's been some a numerous article about this spammer who just got through a court case and got sentenced to jail and a fine, but it talks about his operation. This Jeremy James pumped out, I guess, at least 10 million spam emails a day. He used 16 high-speed lines, and he had a broadband bill of like 50 grand a month. But apparently, 10 million spam mails a day equated into $750,000 of profit, or $700,000 of profit a month. And there's some accusations that he was using some stolen AOL email addresses, but he's been recommended for a 9-year prison term, and it's the nation's first felony trial of a spam sender. So it's nice to see that this guy got hammered, but it makes you understand why spammers do what they do. I wrote about this earlier last week about something that the Motion Picture Association's doing, the MPAA. They're hiring, or they've come up with technology to allow movie theaters to monitor their patrons to see if they're using video recorders in their movie theaters. And of course, it's against the law in the United States to record a movie, you know, a regular release movie that's in the movie theaters. And it's interesting that they're using technology against technology to do this. Now, I know I've been in movie theaters overseas and seen people with cameras before. Never seen it in the United States, but I have seen it overseas. And given the number of bootleg DVDs that are available in some third world countries, I'm not surprised. And if any of you have ever looked at one of those bootleg DVDs, it looks like it was recorded with a D, you know, with a camcorder in a movie theater. You hear people coughing and see heads moving around, and it's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty piss poor quality for a hacked DVD. There's an article on Locker Gnome about what to look for in a web host. And I guess this brings up a point that I want to make. I'm looking for an additional web host because the podcast bandwidth is going to go over the allowance that I've slated, and I don't want to pay for the extra bandwidth fees. So if any of you are familiar with a web host that has a highly fair a highly fairly high bandwidth allowances, let me know and send me a link to that. But if you've been on the same web host for a while, and maybe, oh man, I just edited something out. I just sneezed in everybody's ear, so I cut out a little bit of a section of the maybe I gave you the build up, but I cut the sneeze out. Sorry about that, folks. Even though you didn't hear it. Let me look at a time hack here. Oh, that was at about 14:45. All right, but if you've been on the same web host for a while, it may be time to go shopping around because what was out there 2 or 3 years ago, you now, you know, for $50 a month, you now can find maybe like $7 to $10. I've always said you get what you pay for. The host I'm on has been real good, but they don't offer the same plan, or I just buy another hosting plan with the same company. I must have got a good bandwidth deal at the time. They must have been hurting for customers, but I'm not about to let my current web host go because of the allowance that that I have with them. In space news today, the Mars rover Opportunity is going to be taking the same path out of a crater that it followed in approximately 5 months ago, and they're going to roll it out of there and going to head for another area called Burns Cliff. So it just goes to tell you that the Mars rovers are still in operation. They're still kicking out there on Mars, and it's good to know that our taxpayer dollars went a long way on that one. Now, the Cassini spacecraft has revealed that the moon Titan, which circles Saturn, obviously, shows signs of volcanism. And it says a type of volcanism. And I don't know if or type, a kind of volcanic activity that involves molten ice. So real curious to see what they're going to find there as they dig through the data that they've collected. Now, I'm pretty happy. I have a on my BBS, I have about a terabyte of shareware that I've collected over the years, and the collection has continued to grow. And if any of you want to go check that collection out, it's available at www.bbsnets.com. But you know, I thought terabyte, man, I was a big king on the hill thinking I had a terabyte of data and or of shareware. And it's all shareware. The but I was amazed at a Walmart story that talks that says Walmart has like 465 terabytes. Now 460 terabytes of data stored on a on Teradata mainframes that is made up of information of their customers. And I best apparently they're saying that 100 million people go to Walmart on a weekly basis, and they've collected that data, and they're getting smarter on how they stock their shelves. But that's a pretty impressive number, folks. 460 terabytes of data. I'd like to see their data center. But it goes to show you that they're out there collecting metadata on you and your purchases. Combine that with RFID technology. It's not going to be too long. They're going to know exactly what's in your house. And God forbid if insurance companies get powerful enough that they can buy that information and classify you as, you know, your risk factor based upon what you buy at Walmart and other companies. I think it's coming to that. Hopefully it won't go quite that far. Now, there's a pretty cool article that's out, talks about now that TiVo allows you to build a RSS file. Actually, it'll take a RSS entries off someone's site. It looks like there's people that have made some hacks to get podcasts into a TiVo. Now, I'm not so sure I want to listen to a podcast on a TiVo, but it's kind of cool that they've done that. And just goes to show you that the if you want your data a certain way, you can have it with a little ingenuity. ICANN, I guess, has had enough with VeriSign. They've initiated some arbitration through the International Court of Arbitration to trying to put VeriSign in its place, basically, for this is stemming from abusive actions. When they put the Site Finder site up and Consolidate and IDN and WLS. I know some of you are going to say, what the heck am I talking about? But I'll put the link up to the site. You can read the full article, but I'd like to see ICANN just terminate their relationship with VeriSign and turn that over to someone else. It would keep that company in check. It would ruin the company, but I'm not a big fan of VeriSign. I'm looking at my articles, and we are at 21 minutes today. Actually, a little longer than that with the comments from the voicemails. And I'm approaching 12:30 here in Hawaii. I'm going to cut it short tonight and sign off. But if you have articles that you would like me to put up, or you have some comments for the show or suggestions for show topics, please send them to me at geeknewscentral.com. Be sure to visit the website at www.geeknewscentral.com. Again, I'm going to give you the voicemail number here. It's 619-342-7365. Give your show a plug. Call and give us a comment. We thank those of you that have called in, and we appreciate the feedback that we've also gotten over email. And hopefully the voice volume level was higher tonight. I finally got a floor-based microphone stand, so when I tap the desk here, you don't get a total thump 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 through the microphone. And was able to position the mic a little better and get a little closer to my face and still see the computer. I guess that's about it. So I'm going to leave you with some music. And for those of you that want to know what jams we were playing last time, I'm going to include those artists on the website tonight so that you have a link to those. And as always, any music that we play here at Geek News Central is non-RIAA music and can be found at GarageBand.com. Everyone have a great evening, and we'll have a longer show for you on Thursday. And take care. Have a nice evening or day or whatever it may be when you're listening to the show. Bye.
Spoken, can I just walk away from being broken? Am I so blinded that I've become the very thing I've always hated? Now I have fallen. Where have I silence, laughing in misery. Flowers in winter, fast asleep in faded colors underneath the snow. But how far below? How can this be? Yesterday, shadowy figures dancing in moonlight, captured and photographed just after midnight. Is this illusion, or is this the way that it's supposed to be? Oh, tell me. Sounds like a carnival, smells like a circus. I'm getting colder, I am freezing all the images. In other words,